Let's take a look at the Word of God together. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Psalms and Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is a psalm of the presence of the Lord, reminding us that God is always with us, and with His presence comes His provision, His power, and His protection. So let's read together. We'll read the whole thing through, and then I'll go back and we'll make some verse-by-verse comments. Psalm 46. Reading from the New American Standard Translation, because that is the real Bible. Look, Paul may have written in King James English, but when he read the Bible, he got a New American Standard out and read that. Alright. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth shall change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Now in a metaphor, he describes that relationship of God with His creation. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. How many of you know you and I are the holy dwelling places of God? We are the church of God, the dwelling place of the Spirit. God is in the midst of her, church. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised His voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our strength. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving, or be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You this morning that You are with us. You're here in this place today. You dwell within every child of God here this morning. But You're also here, Lord, to bring grace and favor to all of us who are here to hear the word of the Lord today. We thank You for Your presence with us. In Your presence, we know there is the fullness of joy. There is peace and comfort. There is wisdom and knowledge and strength. And we bless You, Father, for being here today to minister these things to every one of our hearts. Open the eyes of our understanding this morning, Lord, as we look at this and other passages of Scripture together, to be reminded that we are not alone, but You are with us. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So let's look through this verse at a time, through this short psalm, and see what we can learn here. It starts off by saying, God is our refuge and strength, and the order of the words here allows for the thought, our God, or our God, the true God, the only God, is a refuge. Our God, as compared to all of the other gods of the world, he says, our God really is a refuge and a strength, a very present help, or a proven help in time of trouble. Over and over again, God has proven Himself faithful to us through times of difficulty, through times of trouble. We trust in Him, and therefore we do not fear change when it comes. That's what the next couple of verses are going to be talking about. How many of you like change in your life? Me either. I like my life ordered. I like to know what's going to happen every minute of every day. I like to have it all planned out ahead of time. And I don't like to be surprised by anything. That's just the way I'm built, the way I'm structured. And change is difficult. And I think for most of us, we like our comfort zones. You know, we make the joke all the time in this church about how the pastor can close his eyes and yet still know who's in church and who's missing church because of who's in particular chairs around the sanctuary. You always sit in that same chair you come to every week. And so it's just change is difficult. Change is difficult for all of us. But he tells us here, when we trust in the Lord, we don't have to fear change. We don't have to fear being moved from our comfort zone. The King James Bible says, this translation says at the end of verse 2, though the earth should change, King James Bible says, though the earth should be moved or removed. The idea, the picture is that everything is going as usual, and then all of a sudden something happens and it just jerks the rug right out from under you, and all of a sudden everything is topsy-turvy. And he's telling in this passage of Scripture, because God is who He is, if we can trust in Him, we can know that He's going to be there for us no matter what happens, no matter what we're going through, so we don't have to be concerned. If everything goes on schedule, praise the Lord. But if things get turned upside down, we can still praise the Lord, because God's got us, and God is with us, and God's going to take care of us moving forward. Even in the midst of turmoil, God is there to watch over us and take care of us. And I love the imagery in verse 4. This is a metaphor here. How many of you know, in John chapter 7, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit as rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit is rivers of living water. If you understand that picture and go back then and read many Old Testament passages of Scripture, it'll give you a greater understanding when it talks about rivers in the wilderness, for example, in Isaiah and a couple of different places. It's talking about the Holy Spirit who brings refreshing in the dry seasons of our life, you see. The Holy Spirit is the river. And again, you and I are God's dwelling place. You and I are the temple of the living God. We are the city. Get this, church. You and I, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are the city that is set on the hill for the world to see. Okay? So when he talks about the dwelling place of the Most High in verse 4, he's talking about the church. He's talking about you and me who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The river is the Holy Spirit. There is a river, the Holy Spirit, whose streams make glad the city of God. You and me. It's the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives that makes us glad, that brings us joy, that gives us peace. Knowing that He is there with us. And how many of you realize that sometimes it's just the knowledge of God being with you. God doesn't have to change the circumstances, though He is certainly capable of that. God is able to change any circumstances that you and I are going through. He doesn't always promise to do that, but He does always promise to be with us through whatever circumstances we are facing. And so sometimes it's just the knowledge that we're not alone in this thing, that God is with us. God is going through this thing with us. And just in the knowledge of God being with us brings that peace and brings that comfort to our hearts, because we know that we're in the hands of the Mighty One and the great Creator of heaven and earth, the one that we will spend eternity with. And so His presence with us helps us and keeps us. This translation says at the end of first part of verse 5 there, she, the church, will not be moved. Your translation says, will not be shaken. Will not be shaken. Even when the bad things happen, even when the bad news comes, even when stuff breaks out of our mind, we won't be shaken when we remember God is with us. God is taking care of us. And notice how He helps in the next verse there. It says, verse 6, the nations made an uproar. The nations raged. The kingdoms tottered We're looking at things being shaken back and forth and turmoil being stirred up everywhere. And look at what God does. He raises his voice and the earth melts. Just by the power of the word of God, he changes the circumstances. He overcomes the enemy. He puts them beneath our feet by the power of his word. And so God is doing that for us. And then he reminds us again in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. And then he invites us to come and see the works of God in verses 8 and 9. And how God gives us victory over all of our enemies and over all of our adversaries. This is the picture that he's painting for us in verses 8 and 9. And then he says this in verse 10. Now your King James will probably say, be still and know that I am God. And my New American Standard says, cease striving. Cease striving. What he's talking about there, what that word means is when you see the troubles coming, when you see the adversity at your doorstep, and when you see bad things are happening in your life, he says, don't freak out by what you see. Just rest in the presence of the Lord. What's our tendency? Excuse me. What's our tendency when we see difficulties, when we see problems, when we're going through something new? I'm going to talk about new things this morning. A lot of us that are here this morning are going through some new things, and new things shake us up and give us anxiety and are very stressful in our lives. And what's our tendency when we see things going on in our life? Our tendency is, boy, we crank up our minds and we begin to rationalize and we begin to try to come up with the best plan of action to fix this problem ourselves and make things happen in life and try to change things all ourselves. And God said, no. He says, be still. Rest. Cease from your striving in your fleshly strength and let me have control of the problems in your life. The word therefore, be still, translated cease in this translation, really means to relax, let go, give it to God. Let God have these things. God will be with you. He is our stronghold and God is here to help. Brother and sister, we are not alone. God is with us. I share this psalm with you this morning just as an introduction to a very short message. This will be a unique situation at our church. I usually preach 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks on the same subject. I just want to share a simple single message with you this morning, just to encourage you, just to remind you, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what kind of difficulties it may be, something new that's getting you upset, no matter what it is, just want to remind you today that whatever you're going through, you are not alone. God is with you in the midst of it, and he's there for you to help you through it. Be encouraged today, brother and sister. You are not alone. This is a season. This time of year is a season of change and a season of new beginnings for a lot of us in a lot of ways. There are a lot of new things that are taking place. Some are good. Some are bad. Maybe you're just moving into Lynchburg, or you're moving into a new apartment or somewhere. You're scheduling new classes at school. School just started in our area. Scarlett loves school so much. I'm so proud of Scarlett. No, she hates it. She's been there for a week. She's been there for a week. She's ready to call it a year. I told her, I said, you got 1 week down. You got 35 to go, darling. So 37, all right. More good news, praise the Lord. But you know what, Scarlett? God is with you, dear. God is with you. And he's going to walk through all 37 with you, praise God. But there are a lot of new things and a lot of things happening in all of our lives. Some of us are looking for work, for jobs, and all of these kinds of things. And you know, anytime new things are happening in our lives, we may feel anxious, we may be stressful, we may feel lonely and alone. And the promise from the scriptures is that we are never alone, for he never leaves us or forsakes us. That through it all, even when you don't sense the presence of God, and you know that sometimes we're built too much on emotion and senses, and we want to feel something. And there's nothing wrong with desiring to feel the presence of the Lord. But brother and sister, we sometimes we just need to walk by faith and trust that God is there, whether we feel anything or not. You see, Paul said we walk by faith, not by sight or feelings. It's by the Spirit, it's not by the natural that we walk, see. And so it's by faith and trusting that God is going to be there for us. Doug and Ernestine had a car accident this past week. And by the way, we'll pray for them at the end of the service today. They spent a day in the hospital and now they're home recouping. And thankfully, there's doesn't appear to be anything long-term problems other than the aches and pains that they're feeling from being in that automobile accident. When I went to see him in the hospital Friday, I guess it was, we were at the hospital over there, and both of them said, "Well, I'll see you in church on Sunday." And I thought to myself, God bless your heart. You know, when you've been in an automobile accident like that, a lot of times just the shock and the adrenaline can mask a lot of things that don't show up for a day or two. And all of a sudden you realize how much you got hurt in that situation. And so we want to pray for them. Thank God doesn't appear to be anything life-threatening or long-term. A lot of bruises and maybe cracked ribs and kinds of things where they need a lot of healing. But listen, the rug was jerked out from under them on Friday. And everything changed. I'm sure they didn't have any plans whatsoever to spend the day at Lynchburg General Hospital. But that's the way their day went. But you know what? God was right there with them. Through it all, God was there with them, and it's why they're still with us today. Illnesses, health issues, and ourselves or in our family. Sometimes things like this are overwhelming. And the Bible wants us to know today that we are not alone in whatever we're going through. That God is right there with us. And the very familiar, I mean in the worst of circumstances, God is always there. In the very familiar 23rd Psalm, the 4th verse tells us, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." God, you are there. You are there, even in the worst of circumstances. You know, it's a rare person. It's a rare person that goes through life without experiencing some kind of tragedy, some kind of loss and great difficulty in their lives. You may lose a job, you may lose a marriage, you may lose a spouse, you may lose an arm. But God is right there with you no matter what you're going through in life. He's there with you through it all. People ask when tragedies happen, such as Doug, such as mine, such as this young girl this past week, distant friends of family and things, Cassidy Richardson, I believe was her name, 19 years old, died of cancer this past week. She fought cancer for half of her life. But today, brother and sister, she's in the presence of Jesus and she has walked into the ultimate victory. And into the arms of God. But when those kinds of things happen, people often say, "Well, where was God in all of that? Why didn't God do something to stop that? I mean, He is the Almighty, isn't He?" Well, He absolutely is, brother and sister. And listen, I can't answer the question, why do bad things happen, any other way than to let you know that you and I live in a fallen world that is ruled by evil, where bad things happen. And God never once promised to stop bad things from happening in this lifetime. Oh, there will come a day, and we've talked about it before, where there will be a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. But in the meantime, we've got to deal with a lot of hard and difficult issues and circumstances of life. And what God wants from us in the midst of all of those things is that no matter what we might be going through, what kind of tragedy, difficulty, circumstances, no matter what, that we will run to Him in the midst of that and allow Him to be our strength through that, our comfort in the middle of it, our peace beyond it. This is what God wants to do in our lives. A lot of people look at me funny when they say, how are you electrocuted? How did you lose your arm like that? And I said, well, I was actually a volunteer worker at a church painting the church. And people just kind of freak out at that. God let something like this happen at church? Yeah. Stuff happens anywhere, brother and sister, in this world that we live in. Things can happen anywhere. And people will say, well, where was God? Why didn't God? Listen, can I tell you where God was the day I was electrocuted? God was right there at 615 Paramount Avenue, right with me, the whole time it happened. And He is the reason I am still here today. Even beyond that, and in the 2 years that we were in the hospital, multiple surgeries and all of those kinds of things, and God was right there with us through it all. And we experienced realms of peace and comfort when actually we were told there would be a lot of stress, anxiety, anger, freaking out, and all of this kind of stuff. And God was there with us through all of that. He never left us. He never forsook us. Never once. Not for a moment. Too often we think about God as way off in the distance somewhere, disconnected from the world that we live in, disinterested, uninvolved, unaware, uncaring, and nothing could be further from the truth. Look with me at, let's just stay in the book of Psalms. Look over at Psalm 139. In Hebrews 4 and verse 13, the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us there that nothing escapes the mind of God or the presence of the Lord. He is aware of everything all the time. In Psalm 139, I want to read verses, well, let's just start in verse 1 and read through verse 4. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. You think anything has escaped His notice in your life? Not a thing has God missed. Even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know all. Look at verse 7. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there Your hand will find me. You know, I think sometimes we wish we could run from God. But I guarantee you, in those situations, if we'll stop just long enough to think about it, we'll be thankful that we couldn't get away from God and that He was actually there with us in the midst of what we're going through. I think this passage of Scripture actually points me to Jonah. points me to Jonah. And Jonah literally was running from God. God told him to go one direction. He literally went the opposite direction. Got into a ship trying to get away from God, got thrown into the sea, wound up in the belly of a whale. And guess what? God was right there to catch him. Don't you know he was grateful that he couldn't get away from the one from whom he was fleeing? Where can I go from your spirit? Nowhere. Nowhere. Just try and see. I'll meet you when you get there. The Bible says that the sparrow doesn't fall without God knowing. And even the hairs of our head are numbered. Peter tells us to cast our cares on the Lord because he cares for us. He is aware. He does care. And God wants to get involved in our lives. Do you know, there's a story over in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 about a king in Israel who, when he got into difficulty, rather than going to the Lord, he actually went to some of his enemies. One enemy was attacking him, so he went to another enemy offering money to try to buy an ally against that other enemy. And it happened to all work out for him, but once it was all said and done, the prophet of the Lord came to the king and he said, "Dude, you went the wrong direction. Instead of going to your enemies to try to buy an ally, you should have just gone to God, because God was there waiting for you." And he says this, he says, "Because the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone to whom he can show himself strong." He said, man, you went looking for somebody to help you, and God was right there all along waiting for the opportunity to help you. Brother and sister, we are not alone. Our God is with us, and he is a very present help in times of trouble. Things that we go through in life, whether it's a new job, a new school year, a new ministry, new seasons of life, they can sometimes feel overwhelming to us. They can make us feel inadequate. But God is there in the midst of all of those seasons, and he wants us to lean on him and draw strength from him to do those things that he wants us to do in our lives. We can lean on God. Listen, brother, sister, we can lean on God knowing, and you probably heard this before, if he brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. And if we will trust in the Lord, no matter what we're facing in life, we can see the victory of the Lord in those circumstances. One of my favorite Old Testament stories is the Old Testament story of Gideon from the book of Judges. Gideon lives during that season of the Judges when there's no king in Israel, and a nearby neighbor has actually brought the nation of Israel, has come and oppressed the nation. Israel would go out during the spring season and they would plant their crops. And in the fall, when the crops, it was time for the crops to be harvested, the Midianite armies would come through Israel and steal all their food from them. They didn't capture them. They didn't take them away and make them slaves or anything. But they just left them there with nothing to eat and left them constantly fearful of the next attack of the Midianites. And so they are being oppressed by this neighboring nation, and they're crying out to God and asking for help. And the angel of the Lord shows up to a man by the name of Gideon. And Gideon is a man who is living in just total fear for his life. The Bible says that he is threshing wheat in a wine press. And I don't have time to explain all of that, but it actually pictures for us how fearful this man was. Instead of being out on top of a hill threshing the wheat the way you're supposed to, he's at the bottom of a hill hiding because he's afraid the Midianites are going to get that wheat. And so he's in total fear when God shows up and calls him a great and mighty warrior. And he tells God, "God, you've got the wrong man. I'm not capable of doing what you're going to ask. It's not in me to lead Israel into victory. And God made this statement to Gideon that changed everything. In Judges 6 and verse 16, he said, Gideon, I want you to go out. You're going to lead the army. You're going to take your army and you're going to defeat the Midianites. Listen, he said, you're going to defeat the Midianites in one battle. You're going to do away with your enemy. And he said, Gideon, here's how you're going to do it. I will be with you. Brother and sister, do you understand? You and God makes the majority. You and God can defeat any enemy that comes your way. Now, Gideon had to be convinced, and God had to take him down a few roads in order to show him the real truth and what he was going to do. But the end of the story is this. Gideon takes an army of 300 men, and he defeats a Midianite army that numbered over 130,000 warriors. Why? How could he do that? Because God was with him. Because God was with him. And nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for our Lord. The point of the story, brother and sister, is when we walk with God, there is nothing that we can't do when God is with us. And brother and sister, we are not alone today. God is with us. Can I give you two more examples from Scripture of what God can do in a person's life? Look over at Exodus chapter 3 with me. God did it for this man. In Exodus chapter 3, and I will read verses 7 through 12 for you. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. This is the story of the burning bush, and Moses is talking to God face to face. And God speaks to Moses, and he says in verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. By the way, there it is again. God knows what you're going through. God sees everything. Nothing escapes his notice. And nothing that you're going through has escaped the notice of God either. And God loves you. And God hears your cry. I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, of the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, Moses, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? I haven't got time. You read the next chapter and a half or so, and Moses makes excuse after excuse as to why he is not qualified to go and do what God has told him to do. You know, we don't typically think of Moses that way. We don't think of Moses as being a complaining whiner. And yet that's the picture that we see of Moses here, okay? Moses becomes the greatest prophet in the history of the nation. But he starts off as a complaining whiner. But notice he says in verse, and let me read 11 again. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And the Lord said, certainly I will be with you. Moses, God says, Moses, hear me, son. It's not about you. It's about me. And I'll be with you. And everything is going to be all right. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord would say to us today, guys. It's not about us. It's about Him. And He is with us. And there's nothing He can't do. And as long as we're trusting in God, everything is going to be all right. It took some convincing where Moses were concerned, but eventually he grew to believe and obey God and grew to love and trust in the presence of the Lord. And he went to Egypt, did great and mighty miracles, delivered the Israelites just like God said, and became the greatest prophet that Israel ever had. All because he believed God was with him. The presence of God changed his life and enabled him to do great things for God. That same presence is with you and me today. You're not alone. God is with you. One more. Look at Joshua chapter 1. We'll be done here this morning. When I think about Joshua and what he had to do, I kind of feel sorry for him. I want you to hear this. Moses is the leader of Israel. He leads them through the wilderness for years and years and does great and extraordinary miracles by the power of God working through his life. And he delivers them from Egypt and brings the Israelites to the border of the promised land. And he is respected and revered by everybody, both in Israel and the nations that are around. But God says to Moses, you're not going into the promised land. I'm going to send somebody else in front of the Israelites to take them in. Moses dies before he gets into the promised land, and Joshua is appointed to take Moses' place. Listen to me. How would you like to be called on to fill Moses' shoes this morning? I kind of feel sorry for this guy. This is the man he's got to follow. The greatest prophet in the history of the nation. And now he's got to follow him and fill his shoes. Look at what God says to him in Joshua chapter 1. And let's just start in verse 1. Read through verse 9. Now it came about that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, the Mediterranean, toward its setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you. No enemy. No enemy you face is going to be able to stand up to you. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Joshua, I've written it all down for you. It's right there in front of you. Just do what I'm telling you to do, and everything is going to be all right. Brother and sister, do you know that's a truth that you and I need to grab hold of today? That God has put it all before us in His Word and by His Spirit. And if we'll just believe what God is saying to us and put our trust in the Word of God, God will always lead us to victory and make us overcomers in the pattern of Moses and Joshua and all the rest. Verse 9, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God says to Joshua, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You will defeat every enemy. You will take every foot of land. You will walk in all of my promises because I will be right there with you. You're not alone, Joshua. I will be with you. So he did what God said, and everything God promised came to pass in his life. And church, you and I are not alone today. God is with us. And just like Joshua and Israel had enemies to defeat, you and I have enemies to defeat today. Enemies of selfishness and sin. Enemies of doubt. Enemies of insecurity. Enemies of insignificance. Enemies of fear and anxiety. You and I have land to take. We have families to raise. We have bills to pay. We have classes to complete and degrees to obtain. We have kingdom business to accomplish. We have souls to save. We have promises to walk in. Promises of abundant and eternal life. And we will do it. Because the same God who was with Moses and Joshua and Peter and John and Paul, that same God is with you and I today. He is with us and he is in us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And we will, and he will do for us everything that he's called us to do. So take courage today, brother and sister. No matter what circumstances you may be facing, no matter what you might be going through, you are not alone. God is with you wherever you may go. Let's pray together. And Father, my prayer this morning is that we will receive this word and confirm it in our own heart by our faith toward you, that we know that you are with us. And because you are, we can calm down. We can be still and experience the living God in our lives. We thank you, Father, that you will give us victory over all of the sins of the flesh, over all of our selfishness, over all doubt and fear, over all feelings of insecurity and insignificance. You will help us to know who we are in Christ. You will help us to walk in all that you've called us to be and to do for your name and all the promises that you've given to us. You will fulfill it all as long as we continue to trust in you and to believe that you are with us wherever we may go. So, Father, even as we plan to leave this place today, I pray, Father, that you would burn this very simple message in truth into all of our hearts, and that every moment of every day we would remember and recognize you are right there with us. And because you are, our ultimate victory is assured. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.